Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, talking about Adam, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. God's punishment for sin since the beginning was death. You know the story. Eve took a bite of that fruit and she gave it to Adam. They both disobeyed. They both sinned. Look at chapter 3 now, verse 19. God comes and he finds them. They hide from God because they're ashamed of their sin. And God finds them there, Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. And he tells Adam, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Go to Genesis chapter 5 now, in verse 5. A lot of time passes between chapter 3 and chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, verse 5, the Bible says this, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. My first thought is, wow, that was one really old guy. But my second thought is, and he died. Now that's normal to us because everybody dies sometime. And if you live to be 900 years old, you're probably living on borrowed time. So that seems normal to us. But wait, it wasn't normal to Adam. He wasn't supposed to die. He was supposed to be able to keep living. But the reason he died is because he sinned, because he took of that fruit. And I know what you're thinking. If that was me, I wouldn't have done it. Well, have you ever seen a sign, walked by a sign and it says wet paint? Have you ever seen one of those and you just had to touch it? Okay, I'm guilty. I think I would have eaten whatever fruit that was. I think I would have disobeyed God. I think I would have because I've disobeyed my parents. I've disobeyed God. Death and the grave came. God said, for dust thou art and unto dust shalt thou return. So, oh, Pastor, come on, this is Easter. Come on, give us something good. Well, hold on, here's the good news. Jesus came. And he won the victory over death and the grave when he died and rose again. But there's a little bit you got to hear first. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. We're all going to die. That's just a fact of life. None of us gets out of this alive. That's just the truth. But Jesus came to win the victory over death. 1 Corinthians 15:55, the Bible says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Jesus won the victory over death and the grave when he died and rose again. I'm going to read these to you quickly. Isaiah 25, verse 8, the Bible says, he will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. What a great mental picture. I like word pictures. He will swallow up death in victory. Death will be no more because he had victory over it. 1 Corinthians 15:54, the Bible says, so when this corruptible, talking about our bodies, shall have put on incorruption, talking about this our glorified body living forever with God, and this mortal, talking about the thing that dies, shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Here it is. Death is swallowed up in victory. I read it to you from Isaiah. That was the prophecy. Now, in Corinthians, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Not only this, though. Not only did Jesus win the victory over death. You got to get this. This is big. But he won the victory over the fear of death. See, I don't have to fear death because Hebrews 2:15, the Bible says this, talking about Jesus and why he came, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Subject to bondage because I'm afraid of dying. That's why I go out and run every day so I can live longer. That's why we eat healthy, right? So we can live longer. That's why we go on diets and all these things. We can do so much. I heard this statement. I didn't look it up. I didn't verify it, so you can fact check me on this one. But I've heard that we spend more money on the last week of somebody's life than we do during the rest of their life in medical care. Why? We don't want to die. All their life through have been kept in bondage because of the fear of death. But Jesus came to deliver us, not only from death and not only from the grave, but also from the fear of it. There is no need to fear death because Jesus Christ rose again. So Jesus was out, he was teaching. There was a man there, his name was Lazarus. Lazarus died. You may remember this story. They took Lazarus, they wrapped him all up like a mummy. They buried him in a tomb. In this case, it was a cave, and they left him there. I think they put a stone over it, if I remember the story right. They had a cave, they rolled a stone, kind of like Jesus. They rolled the stone there. And Lazarus was dead. He's dead for one day, he's dead for 2 days, he's dead for 3 days. 4 days went by. Jesus came to visit the family because he had heard that Lazarus was sick. He came to visit. When he got there, one of Lazarus' sisters came out and said, "You're too late, he's dead." Jesus said, well, show me where he's at. And she said, "You don't want to go there, it's been 4 days. Her words, "Lord, by now he stinketh." It's been 4 days. He's been dead for 4 days. Jesus goes up to, I want you to find it. I didn't plan on saying this. Find it. It's John chapter 11. I want to make sure I say it right. But John chapter 11, this is an amazing verse. And Jesus goes up there and he asks her, where is he? And she shows him. It's chapter 11. Jesus says, verse 23, "Thy brother shall rise again." Verse 24, "Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But Jesus said this, verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." What an amazing statement that he's saying. He's talking about Lazarus. He said, "Look, I'm the resurrection. Yeah, it's been 4 days since he died, but let me take care of this." Verse 34, he says, "Where have ye laid him?" Verse 39, he says, "Take ye away the stone." Verse 43, "And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, Loose him and let him go." Here's the truth from this lesson. Jesus is the resurrection. He has won victory over death, and then he died, brought himself back to life. What an amazing, amazing statement that is. One more enemy that I need to tell you about. That is the greatest enemy, number four. We're going to call that hell. Greatest enemy one is the devil. Greatest enemy two, sin. Greatest enemy three, death and the grave. The greatest enemy that we're going to finish with this is hell. I just heard this week that the Pope just said that there's really not a hell. Did you hear that in the news? Wow. Turns out he was just talking with a friend, so it really didn't count that he said that, but a lot of people are trying to figure this out. Is there, isn't there? Well, the Bible tells us that hell was created by God. He actually made it. He made it as a punishment for the devil and the angels that chose to rebel against God with him. God didn't make hell for people. He didn't make hell for you. God didn't make hell for even bad people. He made hell for the devil and the angels that rebelled against God, a third of the angels that followed Satan out of heaven. But he taught us about it. He created hell as a place for angel and these demons that followed him. But when man sinned, God decided that sin was going to have to go to hell. Any sin that's committed has to be punished by hell. I'm going to read you a couple of verses. One is from Matthew 25. It says, Matthew 25, 41. "Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Jesus is talking about hell. In 2 Peter 2, 4, the Bible says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment," that he goes on and talks about why would, if he didn't spare them, why would he spare sinful people? Hell's a real place. The Bible shows that Jesus talked about it quite a bit. Now, it's a real place, but I want you to get this. Jesus won the victory over it. So if you stick with me for just a couple minutes, we're about done, but you've got to get this. Can you find Luke chapter 16 in your Bible? Sometimes Jesus talked in parables. He would tell a story. He would tell a pretend story so that the people he was talking to would get what he was saying. He would talk about wind. He'd talk about seeds. He would talk about plants growing, all kinds of different things. And it was a story that he would tell so that people could get the truth that he was trying to get across. It's called a parable. Luke chapter 16 is not a parable. Luke chapter 16, the Bible doesn't say he spoke a parable unto them. This wasn't a parable. This has really happened. And Jesus talked about a place called hell. Luke chapter 16, verse 19, the Bible says, "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and it was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. We would call that paradise. It was like heaven. The rich man also died and was buried. So here's the difference. The beggar died and he was carried away by angels. The rich man died, he was buried. In the very next verse, the Bible says, this is Jesus talking. The Bible says, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Hell's a real place. Hell is a real place where sin is punished. It's a place not created for man, not made for man or women, but a place made for sin, the place made for Satan and these demons that rebelled against God. But because of sin, God said the punishment for sin is death. And the Bible said death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And the Bible says, and all those, and I don't remember the exact words, that whose names were not written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. This is a place where sin will be punished. Can you find one more place? I think this is the last one I'll have you turn to. Matthew chapter 13, if you would. Matthew chapter 13. I just want you to understand this. Jesus talked about hell more than he talked about heaven. It's a real place. It's a place where sin is to be removed forever from the presence of God. It's a place where you and I deserve to go as sinful people. Matthew 13, verse 37, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. He's explaining a parable that he just told. Let me catch up. He just told a parable about somebody going out there and planting good seed in their field, and then somebody else coming in and planting weeds, or tares, is what he called the weeds, planting tares in the field. And now he's explaining what this was. So, verse 37, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Remember, this is Jesus talking. He's just trying to explain things to them. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Then he says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus is preaching on hell. He's saying, listen, if you die in your sins, this is where you're going to go. All those that, he said, he used the word iniquity. I want you to get this morning. I'm going to move past this because I want you to see that Jesus won the victory over it. But first, you got to understand the reality of it. Hell is a real place. Jesus taught about it. He described it. He said it is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a place of torment. It is a place of fire. That's where sin needs to go. And all sin eventually will be separated from God in this place called hell. And this person that has sin in their heart will be there. But that's not God's plan. God came and he sent his son Jesus Christ, and we'll see in just a moment. His purpose for coming to this earth was to pay the price for your sin. In fact, Jesus paid your hell for you so that you don't have to if you would accept his gift of forgiveness. Jesus won the victory over hell. And he did that when he died and rose again. Now this is huge. If you would realize how big this is, we'd all be jumping up and down in our seats. Listen, every one of us has sinned. Every one of us will die. Every one of us deserves to go to this place we talked about called hell. But Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again so that you don't have to. Wow. Let me prove it to you. Acts chapter 2, verse 31 and 32. I'm going to read it to you. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witness. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, the Bible says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, that is hell. Revelation 1:18, this is Jesus talking. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Jesus won the victory over death. He won the victory over the devil. He won the victory over sin. And he won the victory over hell. In Revelation 20:14, this is the last verse I'll read, the Bible says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. He won the victory over. Listen, we're all sinners. We all deserve to pay for our sins. God's method to pay for sins is hell. But he had a plan. And his plan was so big that he came to this earth. He died on the cross. He paid the price for your sin. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again because you can't keep him in the grave. He's God. Won the victory over death, over sin, over the devil, and over hell. The battle with the greatest enemies you have has already been fought and won. Jesus won the victory over the devil. Listen, the devil doesn't have to have control over your life. Jesus won the victory over sin. Sin doesn't have to have control over your life. Jesus won the victory over death and the grave. You don't have to fear death. Jesus won the victory over hell. We all deserve to spend forever in hell. But Jesus went there in your place, and he rose again from the dead so that you don't have to go there. Okay, so it's not a fluffy bunny sermon, but we need to hear this. Listen, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to do that. Here's what happened. Jesus came to this earth, lived a perfect life. He's God. He died on the cross, paid the price for your sin. And then he said, in the scripture in Romans, he said this, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He wants to give you eternal life. You simply need to accept it. Would you accept it? Father, I thank you for this time that we could spend together. Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Well, we celebrate it in so many ways. The reason that we celebrate it is because you won the victory over sin and death and hell. Lord, if there's someone here this morning who has not trusted you as their Savior, I pray that they would do that. Lord, I pray that they would let one of us take a Bible and just show them from a Bible how they can know for sure their sins are forgiven. They can know for sure that they're saved and that they have the victory over death and hell as well.